There are certain passages of Scripture where if you turn to them, and if you're feeling, you know, pretty full of yourself, it just almost immediately takes the wind out. And that's Isaiah chapter 10. If you'll turn there with me, it's one of those passages that remind us that we're not in control, though we may think we are. And it is in the context of the king of Assyria. Most of you are familiar with the passage because not too long ago we actually went through the book of Isaiah. Seems not too long ago anyway. Didn't take very long, did it? How many years was that? 4 or 5 years. That wasn't long. But anyway, in Isaiah chapter 10, what we read about is a king of Assyria who is surrounding at this juncture the little town of Jerusalem. Because it's little because of the fact that all of the places around them have been destroyed, and now only little Jerusalem is left, and their walls are starting to crumble. It looks like Assyria is going to take them over just like he's taken over everything else around them. But God says that's not going to happen. His thought is that he has become great because he made himself great. He's just a good warrior. He's just a good strategizer. But God says, nope, I let you do this. I use you as a tool to discipline my people, and when I'm done with you, I pull you away. Of course, the king of Assyria doesn't see things that way, and we pick up in Isaiah chapter 10. Read with me in verse 5. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, the staff in whose hands is my indignation. In other words, I've been using you to discipline my people. I send it against a godless nation, that is, his people, and commission it against the people of my fury to capture booty, to seize or plunder, to trample them like mud in the streets. Yet it does not so intend, nor does it plan so in its heart, but rather its purpose is to destroy, to cut off many nations. In other words, I sent it out to discipline. The king of Assyria wants to destroy my people. That's his plans. For it says, are not my princes all kings? Is not Kalnal like Karmakesh? Are Hamath like Arpad? Are Samaria like Damascus? As my hand is reaching the kingdoms of the idols whose graven images were far greater than those of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not do to Jerusalem and her images just as I have done to Samaria and her idols? Nobody stopped me so far. What do you think, little Jerusalem will stop me? I don't think so. So it will be, verse 12. That when the Lord has completed all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, he will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the pomp of his haughtiness. For he has said, by the power of my hand and by my wisdom I did this. For I have understanding and I removed boundaries of people. I plundered their treasures and like a mighty man I brought down their inhabitants. And my hand reached into the riches of the peoples like a nest. As one gathers abandoned eggs, I gathered all the earth, and there was not one that flapped its wing or opened its beak or chirped. It's an interesting picture, isn't it? The king of Assyria says, it's just like picking eggs out of a nest. Then God turns and he says this in verse 15. Is the axe to boast itself over the one who chops with it? Is the saw to exalt itself over the one who wields it? That would be like a club wielding those who lift it, or like a rod lifting him who is not wood. Therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, will send a wasting disease among his stout warriors, and under his glory a fire will be kindled like a burning flame. Well, we know what happens, especially as we turn to Isaiah, and I'm not going to have you turn there, but Isaiah chapter 37, in which Hezekiah, the king, starts crying out to the Lord, help. And God says, I've got this covered. He sends an angel out, and during the nighttime, 185,000 of the Assyrian warriors perish. God sends a wasting disease. I think what's interesting is the king of Assyria feels that he's so in control, and God turns to him in just this sleight of hand and says, you're not so tough. You were just killed by something you can't even see. Well, God's in control. And I'm so thankful that we serve a God who knows what's going on and who controls what's going on, and we just have to be right with him. Father, we give you thanks for your word that reminds us of these things. A man proclaims that he's in charge. He proclaims that he's made things happen. We know this is not true. You have used them for a purpose, and when you're done, you will end it. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.